But it was going through, it was going through, it was going through. In any case, I'm doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master. And then he says, actually, I see only Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot, as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hands, he appears very beautiful and blackish. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I'm filled with ecstatic happiness. And then Srila Prabhupada twice in this passage, in this few verses, quotes the famous verse, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tata Guru Tasyate Katita Hirta Prakashante Mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So he quotes twice this verse, very important verse from the Svetasvatara Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tatha guru, yata deve, in God and in Guru, tasya te katita hi harta, harta means meanings, to him the meaning of the scripture, prakashante, they become prakash, they become manifested. Because this is mystic literature, it's not just dictionary meaning. There is also like a realization of that meaning. And so, the Bhagavad Gita, millions of people know the Bhagavad Gita in India, but they don't get the meaning. They may know Hindi, they may know Sanskrit. Some are even big scholars in Sanskrit. But they don't really get the meaning. They don't get the meaning. Although it's right in front of them. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavu. I am the source of everything. But somehow they don't get it. Although it's in front of them, they don't get it. They think Krishna is a manifestation of this or that. They don't get the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, indeed, you are an authority in the reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita. And then Lord Chaitanya embraced him. The Brahmana caught the lotus feet of the Lord and began to cry. And then the Brahmana had this realization that Lord Chaitanya was actually Krishna himself. Because he was so connected, he could see, yeah, you are Krishna. He said, because my happiness is doubled. I was already happy, but now my happiness is doubled. So I was happy because of Krishna. So now how can it be doubled? It must be Krishna. And here, apparently, Lord Chaitanya accepts. He just says, yeah, but don't tell anybody. He doesn't say, no, no, I'm not Krishna. See, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught the Brahmana very thoroughly. The book doesn't give details, but he instructed him. So imagine Lord Chaitanya sitting there telling him many things. I'm not sure. But the philosophy and so on. And requested him not to disclose the fact that he was Lord Krishna himself. In other words, he agreed. Yes, I'm Krishna, but don't tell anybody because I'm doing this sannyas lila. I don't want people to know. And so the Brahmana became a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for four continuous months he did not give up the Lord's company. So he was always with Lord Chaitanya for 4 months. So this is the story that we often hear. And sometimes this story is a bit... is used, at least I heard it used, like if that's not important to read books. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, somebody during the class was saying, I was reading class I was giving class and somebody was saying something, no, but you know, this Brahman in Sri Rangam was only looking at the pictures of the book, which that's why I went to check, there's no picture. He was having a visualization. He was looking only at the pictures of the book, and he was reading, actually he was reading the whole Gita every day. And so why we should give so much attention to scholarship? And this is sometime, I hear this sometime, oh, why we should read books? Bhakti is the real thing. Yeah, but bhakti, shravanam, is the first thing of bhakti. The point is not scholarship. The point is not collecting information, data, learning in the sense of accumulation. I know this, I know this, I know that. I also know this, and I know this, and I know that, and I know this, and I read this, and I read that. It's not a question of academic accumulation. It's a question that reading is both shravanam, is simultaneously, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is simultaneously shravana, hearing, because when we read, we actually hear in the mind what we read. It works like that. We hear the sound, even though we may not pronounce it. Like if you look at the words, you hear those words in your mind. So it's shravana, it's kirtana, because it's all glorification of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said it is also smaranam, it is also remembrance. Like we know many stories, but when we read them, we remember them. First of all, we hear them properly, because sometimes we may mistake. I remember once I was in the Sankirtan party, Brahmachari Sankirtan party in the night, and sometimes we will read the Krishna book. And one night we were there and said, okay, let's read the story of Shyamantaka Jewel. So one Brahmachari said, I know the Brahmachari, I don't know the Shyamantaka Jewel story, let's read something else. And then I asked, okay, so if you know it, tell us the story of the Shyamantaka Jewel. Well, there was this jewel, and there was this king, I don't remember the name, and then there was... He didn't remember anything, basically. He didn't remember. He just knew that he heard a story, but he didn't remember. It's a kind of a complex story, you know? The Shyamantaka jewel, how the person was getting the gold and this and that. So anyway, so it is also shravana, because it's also smarana, it's also remembering. Otherwise, our memory gets a little bit mixed up. We remember details which are not there. We forget other details which are there. Like this morning I was hearing a reading of the Bhagavata, and there was the description of the four Kumaras. They go to see Sankarshan at the bottom of the universe, and they travel through the Ganges, the subtle Ganges, the Ganga Devi. And it is said that the sages, when they come up, their hair was all wet. Now, often in our books, the Kumaras are all shaved up, no? But at least in that opportunity, they had some hair, because they had the wet hair, is described. Now, how long, how short, I don't know, but they had hair. So that is something that I already heard, but I forgot. So hearing again and again, it makes us remember. So we may be simple. Not every one of us is a scholar, an intellectual, or a great reader. But just like this Nabhaga was simple-hearted. Somebody was telling him, somebody in authority was telling him, do this, he will do that. He will believe. And in fact, this story was very successful. We'll see in the next few verses. He got the wealth. He got the darshan of Lord Shiva. He pleased Lord Shiva. So, and then finally he got a very special child in the person of Maharaj Ambarish. So being simple did not prevent him from being successful, because he was connected in the right way. So he had good guidance. Just like this Brahmana in Sriranga, he may not have been a scholar, but he had the darshan of Lord Chaitanya himself. And Lord Chaitanya agreed, yes, I'm Krishna. So being simple, not being intellectual, is not a, what do you call, an obstacle to perfection. But one should be simple, should be also humble. Somebody is simple but is proud, then of course he will make a lot of mistakes. But somebody is simple and is also humble, then it's very easy will become successful. And if somebody is simple, okay, he may not remember so much, he may not memorize so much, but he will always be in touch, because he will read, he will listen, he will read, so he will always be fresh in his Krishna consciousness. But he needs to do that work. Just like the Brahmana, he was reading every day the old Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, so it's a sadhana. He was doing as a sadhana. He wasn't doing for erudition. He wasn't doing to show off. He wasn't doing for social prestige, that you see I'm reading the Gita. No, he was doing because the guru told him to do it, so he would do it. So Srila Prabhupada also told us, read the books. He said in many, many ways and many, many times, read the books, discuss the books. So we need to do it. Some of us will retain more. Some of us will be able to explain more, to make connection. Oh yeah, here this says this and there it says that. So some may not be able, but the fact that they will be always connected to the books, to the philosophy, to the lila, that they will remain spiritually fresh, spiritually pure, and then they will be successful, because ultimately they'll remember Krishna. Okay, so these are a few considerations on this verse. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, very nice class to remind about Venkat Bhat. And
to remind what?
To remind us about the Venkat Bhat story in Sriranga. And I was thinking that there is a nice verse, this Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Sakale Visar Bhanda. Means I was thinking that how that, even if you get knowledge, acquire knowledge, or do some karma kind of things, still all pertaining to sense gratification. So even if we hanker to get more knowledge, to remember so much sloka, so many things, aspects, this all, of course it is good, but how is that? Can you explain it a bit?
Okay, that verse, that's Narottam Das Thakur, no? Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda, Kevala Vishara Bandha. Means Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda, Kevala, purely it's a big pot of poison. Vishara, poison. So, but he's not talking about the shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam. He's talking about Jnana Kanda, means those portions of, say, the Upanishads that deal. Or the portions understood in an impersonal way. So the Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda means ritualistic activities for personal gain. We do a demigod worship or some worship that we want something back. So it's fruitive. Hare Krishna. It's fruitive. That's Karma Kanda. And it doesn't give liberation. It may give pious activities which will give us some more sense pleasure in the next life. So that's poison, because who wants the next life in this world? So it means it's poisonous. You have to go get another birth, another disease, another old age, another death. So it's poison because it keeps the soul in bondage. Gyanakanda, in that sense, means people by meditating on certain passages of the Upanishad, understood in a Mayavadi or impersonal way, they think, oh, I am God, or they think I can merge in the Brahman or this or that. And so that's one sense is poison because they don't get the nectar of Krishna Bhakti. So that doesn't mean that devotees should not learn the scriptures, shouldn't learn the shlokas. The shlokas are great. These are words of Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. That's not Gyanakanda. That's bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. When you say sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishami masucha, which is a verse that many of you memorized, you know. Krishna says, abandon all source of religion and surrender unto me. So when you say that, sarva dharmam parityaja, you're doing shravana, because you're hearing. You're doing kirtana, because you're singing. And you're doing smaranam, because you are remembering. Not only remembering Krishna, the verse, but you're remembering the philosophy. Remembering the philosophy. So, see, this Bhagavad Gita is written in a way which is within Sanskrit literature. It's very easy to remember. They're written in a meter that is kind of easy for the mind to remember. So when you say a verse, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's not Gyanakanda. It's not Gyanakanda. It's bhakti, it's pure bhakti. Okay? So we shouldn't think that, oh, that verse, that devotee knows so many verses, he must be a jnani. Huh? Like in a couple of days you'll have a Gauranga Prabhu. Okay? He knows so many verses. And not only he knows, he used them. You will see, probably, most probably, in every classes he explained the verses. He remembers not only the He doesn't only remember the story, but he remembers the words in Sanskrit, so he can explain. And he can quote from Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. You'll see. Huh? But not that you shouldn't think, oh, he's a jnani. No, he's a bhakta, he's a devotee. And because he is also very intelligent, very sharp, very good brain, very good brain substance, is very clean, so he can remember all these things. He studies and he preaches. So you shouldn't think, oh, he's a jnani. No, he's a devotee who is successful at learning the books. Okay? Anything else? Yes.
You know, in talking about the Brahmana and his, what you'd highlighted, the particular illiteracy that was his difficulty, it really boiled down to not knowing the language and therefore not knowing the meter. So is it that meter is very much connected to knowledge of a language?
Meter? Not necessarily. One may know the meter and not know the language. Like, for instance, what meter means, once I took a lesson by Dravida Prabhu. Dravida Prabhu?
The rhythm of the meter is the rhythm.
But knowing the meter allows you to read the verse properly. Huh? What's long, what's short. We know that We know that some syllables are long, like here, second line, asate. Asate is long. Asate. But certain syllables are always long, like the e. Ime, ime, e is o, e, Sanskrit, e. Sanskrit, English will say e, but in Sanskrit, e. Ime, and also the words, the letters which are followed by two consonants are also long, like ime angirasa satram. So a angirasa, although the a is not long, it is actually long because there are two consonants after. So ime angirasa satram asate dhya sumedasah. So if you know the how to read the verse, then you know basically what's long and what's short. Sometimes we create a little confusion because, especially with Bengali, the Bengali pronunciation is a bit more tight. So the A is like O, O. But sometimes in some book, song book, or even temple boards, we put the A as O. And that's a problem because the O is long and that A is short. So it can create confusion. In other words, you know what I'm saying? You put O for A, but O is long and A is short. So it's like it can create a confusion. I mean, we can see many different songs. Like e nivedena daro shakir anugata koro, but the koro is not o, is a. It is said koro, but it's a short a. Anyway, I'm just giving an example like that. So, but one may know the meter and not know the meaning. It's like if I know the meaning, the meter, I know how to read, but I may not know the meaning. But obviously, if somebody knows a language, he will know also the pronunciation. Like one who knows very good English, he will know how to pronounce many words, because he knows the meaning of the words. English is also kind of tricky because the same letter sometimes is pronounced in different ways. Like A. A in apple is A, apple. But A in America is A, America. Sometimes it's O, like if you say tall. It's the same letter, but if you know the language, you know. Here is A, here is A, here is O. So if you know the language, you can... Sanskrit is more scientific, so generally they don't change like this. But just knowing the meter doesn't mean you know the language. It's like, I mean, we see every day some devotees read the Sanskrit verse very nicely, very sweetly, but doesn't mean they know the language. They know how to read it. Yes. Do you need the mic? For the internet.
You just mentioned, Hare Krishna. You just mentioned about a switch of sound O for A, and I hear so many times like people making this switch in very important mantra, Maha mantra.
Maha mantra, yeah.
Yes. So instead of Rama, Rama, I hear like mostly Ramo. So my question is, does this mantra works when you're switching from Rama to Ramo? Because it's absolutely different
Yeah.
Like meaning, probably.
Yeah. So it work? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it works, because depends. I mean, Krishna understands. That you are calling him. If you are calling him, just like a mother understands when the child calls the mother, even though the pronunciation might be strange or distorted. I would say that we shouldn't do it artificially, and we should correct it. But if it works or not, I don't know. In a sense, I cannot know. It's not that. I mean, I don't know. It depends on Krishna. Is Krishna going to give the bhakti, going to give prema to that devotee or not? It's up to him. Say somebody may be very sincere, but he just got that bad habit and chants Ramo, Ramo, Ramo. I heard once, you heard that story, Prabhupada said, who is this Ramo? You heard that? Who is this Ramo? Is it like that? So who is this person? So it depends, I guess. We should not distort it. We should correct it. We should be careful. But if there is an effect, or to what extent an effect, I'm not sure. Obviously, it's not a karma kind of thing that, unless you pronounce the value, but we should correct it, definitely, because we are talking with Krishna and we should pronounce his name properly. Okay, last comment.
I feel personally that I think so many people here come from various ethnic background, so some of the vowels are modified maybe accidentally because of their various accents. Mm. But as long as Krishna, he understands that you're speaking from the heart. That's the point, because I hear a lot of that, and I think they're modifying it because they add their own little style and so on. Yes. And so forth.
Yes,
but I think they're trying to say the right thing, so I think Krishna understands that.
Like in Russia, when they say Hare, Hare, they put some kind of, like, with a kick, Hare, yeah. No? It's just the way the H works in Russia. So
right.
They
and the Arabic people, they do a lot of the yeah, so that's that.
So, yeah. But one should try to fix it if one notice that, okay, I'm having some trouble pronouncing. Your point is also good. Somebody may be like this Brahmana and Shiranga, maybe very sincerely try, and he doesn't get it always right. So Krishna was happy. So sometimes our pronunciation may not be perfect, like the Na of Krishna. Sometimes we don't. My wife, she's from India, she's from South India, so there are not these three N, no? And sometimes she said, no, you're not pronouncing properly the N. And it's a fact. Maybe it must be a fact. So I hope all my rounds are not wasted. So thank you very much for your attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.